T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
The corner of Broadway and Battery. This is the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game. Now, Damon Bruce.
All right, let's do this. Got the Warriors coming home after a pretty darn successful road trip where they looked an awful lot more like themselves than they have in a lot of other. Look at it this way. I thought the Warriors represented themselves better in that loss to San Antonio than they did in some of their wins this year. And it really is just start playing better, start playing like you're playing for something part of the year, and it looks like the Warriors are doing that. We're officially playing for something over in Japan, at least the A's and Mariners were, while we were all enjoying our slumber. They're playing baseball. I got to watch a little of it because I had a flooding basement, and my wife and I were bailing out ankle-deep water in the basement starting at about 3 a.m.
That's fine.
So, yeah, I got to see an awful lot of the highlights already. It was nice to see Major League Baseball. I got to tell you, the Tokyo Dome looks like the Kingdome. A pretty boring stadium, but the crowd was packed. And so are we today, starting with the man who's riding shotgun, Matt Kolsky. How are you, Matt?
Oh, I'm excellent, especially compared to your bailing the basement. My little roof leak seems like nothing.
Oh, that sucked. It really did. But seriously, I hope your water damage is slim to none.
Yes.
And I'm fingers crossed that it's going to be the same way for me and mine. Did you get up? Did you take a peek at any of the Major League Baseball overnight? Were you compelled to
overnight
sleepwalk?
I did not.
No?
Overnight I did not. I slept well and straight through the baseball game. I caught some highlights. Look, always fun to see Ichiro go grand slam in Japan. I mean, what a nice send-off for one of the greatest players we've ever seen.
He should just wrap it up right there. I think he's going to get one more at-bat. How do you not just retire right there?
I feel like it's probably for the people who bought tickets for today's game, right?
Yeah.
It's just, but he burned the grand slam a night early.
when Dwayne Wade hit that walk-off shot against
right,
the Warriors,
leave.
That should have been it. He should have just retired right there. It's not going to get any better in the go-away season. It is a Warriors Wednesday brought to you by Friedman's Appliance, a trusted name in the Bay Area since 1922, and by Great Clips, proud partner of the Golden State Warriors. They wrap up that road trip with a win in Minnesota last night, and Curry had a monster third quarter. He had 22 points in the third. He finished the night with 36 points. I got to tell you, I really like my Warrior games, Curry dominant.
Mm.
And if that's where all this goes back to next year, I'm going to be fine with that. Right now, they're working Kevin Durant back into the mix. Now they're going to be coming back working DeMarcus Cousins back into the mix as they return home tomorrow night to take on the Pacers. Pretty interesting matchup there.
I want to ask you something about that quickly.
Yeah.
Because I found myself thinking this last night, and I'm not sure if it's real or if it's in my head because of all the stuff that we've been talking about lately.
I'll tell you.
But I felt like Kevin Durant went down to the post a lot last night, and much more often than in the couple weeks before his little injury mishap, he kicked it out to the wide open Steph Curry for made three-pointers.
He was deferring last night.
Yeah.
The trip to the post wasn't a black hole that the ball's not coming out of.
It felt
different. I noticed that, too.
Yeah.
And it felt like he was going out of his way not to be, uninvolved.
Not a shrinking violet.
Right. No, he was very involved in the offense, but he wasn't taking the shot. And the Warriors were clicking last night. Again, when the ball's hopping around, inside, outside, outside, inside, no matter which way it goes, that's when they're at their best, and what do you know, they had a pretty good cakewalk win last night with a Jonas Jerebko sighting that we really haven't had since the holidays. He cracks double figures, I think a season-high 18 last night. Now, I know whenever anything happens with anyone off the bench, everyone starts examining minutes and who should be playing for who and this, that, the other thing. I really don't think, Matt, let me rephrase this. There's no doubt in my mind that Tim Kawakami and the staff of The Athletic monitors minutes in a way that is just, it's irrational because everything changes comes the playoffs. Steve Kerr is not going to find himself. Steve Kerr is not going to find himself managing minutes based on how they were dispersed in the regular season. Everything's going to change come postseason. The bench is going to shrink. And you know, what's Jerebko going to do? What's McKinney going to do? What's Cook going to do? The answer is probably not a lot in the playoffs. I think these guys, the best the Warriors can get out of their bench is being able to take a night or two off here and there, or getting a really good performance that allows guys to take some fourth quarters off here and there as we come on down the stretch, as they've still got the Denver Nuggets in their rearview mirror looking at that one seed. So how can the Warriors compete, have everybody dialed in, yet also get guys off the floor as they are burning through a very compact portion of their schedule at the end? Like, the NBA did the Warriors no favors. You figured that you'd want to get all your, the majority of your back-to-backs and your tight schedules, very few days in between games. You'd want to get that out of the way early. They said that all for the Warriors late in the year.
Yeah, I think ultimately that could be a benefit if they do what you're saying, right? Early in the year, you have back-to-backs and you sit Kevin Durant, you sit DeMarcus Cousins. Not that he was playing in the beginning of the year, but it's like, why are we doing this? We just started.
Right.
You
there's
do it
no,
now.
There's no load to manage yet.
That's right. You do it now, it feels a lot more reasonable. It feels like it fits what they're actually trying to do better. And all these guys have had little nicks and bruises lately, so you can make a really good argument that it's more than just load management. And if that means Jonas Jerebko gets extra minutes, hopefully it means Jonas Jerebko is that much more ready if you do need him for 10 minutes in a playoff game.
How about this last night?
Jerebko hands a rebound to Durant. Long lead pass to Draymond left side to a running Jerebko who comes back with a skyhook, and it goes! Jerebko!
Skyhook! Jerebko! Three words I did not expect to say at all this year. Skyhook Jerebko.
Almost as good as the game-winning tip-in.
Totally. Totally. That was an awful lot of fun. Game two, when we were so innocent, when we were so young.
How little we knew.
888-957-9570. We're going to be taking your calls right up until about quarter to four, when we're going to break into a little What If Wednesday. We got a few what might have been scenarios to go over in sports. Obviously, the NCAA tournament tips off tomorrow. I was told this morning in my conversation with Albie that, first of all, let me just say, once again, someday, with a little work, with a little elbow grease, maybe my life will be as rich and robust as Albie's. Because Albie is once again taking vacation, once again going, how about this, for the first time in his life, he's going to Vegas for the tournament.
Ooh, it's a big weekend.
That used to be
excited.
That was my Xanadu right there. Albie, there are going to be a lot of people who will try to tell you that the tournament in Vegas has jumped the shark, that it's too much of a broed out, dude out, sausage fest weekend. And in many ways,
they're right.
There is an element of correct to that. However, anyone who tries to tell you that, you know, Burning Man's not as fun as it used to be, is someone who just didn't get into Burning Man. You go and you have a great time. I'm sure it's not as fun as it used to be, but it's still the best damn party on the planet. You are going.
That was your jam, right? During your heyday?
I had about a decade run of big-time Vegas NCAA tournament trips with a group of buddies who shall remain nameless everywhere but in police reports. And it's awesome.
Listen, ultimately, you're in a sports book watching wall-to-wall basketball, guaranteed ridiculous exciting finishes. It doesn't matter what the broed-out D-bags are doing. You have your fun.
You're going to have a good time. Yeah. You're going to have a great time, man.
I'm looking forward to it. I can't
Absolutely.
Wait.
Absolutely. There is really nothing like when I talk about how sports are energy. Like, one of the reasons why I absolutely will always love college basketball is because of the energy that you get, and that'll be on full display come this month in the tournament, and it's going to be an awful lot of fun. Then there's the type of energy that built during Matt Cain's perfect game. Like, I've never seen a wick of anticipation burn quite like the only perfect game I've ever attended. That was really something special. The last three outs were, you know, holding your breath level pressure moments for people who were just watching. And that's energy that I've never experienced before. The only thing that I can really compare it to, like, perfect game energy is four games all coming down to the wire, all in doubt in a sports book with everybody got a lot of money in all different directions.
Yeah, you got you got a four-team teaser on all four games.
Oh, dude, it's incredible. It's incredible the energy in Las Vegas. Have a great, great time, Albie. We wish that you come back with at least a little money in your pockets. We hope so.
I sure hope so as well.
Major League Baseball got underway in Japan last night. The San Francisco Giants opening day is now 9 days away.
Ridiculous.
8 days away now, officially. 8 days away. That's right. It's a week from tomorrow. They're going to be underway in San Diego. And when you look at what's going on in baseball, the copycat nature of sports is now on full display, not just on field, but in off-field team construction. We have a list of young, talented players still deep in club control, all getting extended. In the case of the White Sox and Eloy Jimenez, this is a guy who hasn't even begun his major league service time, and he just got a 6-year extension. Everyone wants that Mike Trout deal. Everyone wants to get guys locked up now. And I'm just telling you, suppose you were the, I don't know, let me select a random team, the San Francisco Giants, and you were looking for, I don't know, a marquee free agent, say, a guy like Bryce Harper. The only thing I can pretty much promise you is you're never going to see a blip like that on the radar, not anytime soon, because teams have a new strategy in baseball, and that new strategy is you don't even see free agency. We're going to pay you like a Colombian drug cartel right from the get-go, and that should keep you here and happy. And a lot of guys who don't have the numbers to lean on one way or the other are just going to put their hands out and say, yes, I will take your 6-year, $100 million contract before I've even had a major league cup of coffee, for goodness sakes.
Yes, have the helicopter drop the bags of cash at my estate, please.
Wow. Hey, Damon, I haven't been on vacation since 2006, so F off.
Fair enough.
You know what? It's that kind of lifestyle that has you with that kind of attitude. Take a vacation. You need one. Take care of yourself. Enjoy yourself. This is one of my favorite times of the year. Really is. I mean, we are coming up on the sports, lunar cycle, the financial year, whatever. I mean, think of what we got. We got the tournament. We got opening day. We got Major League Baseball. We got NFL draft. We're wrapping up free agency. Before you know it, we got the Masters. We got Game of Thrones. This is just unbelievable time of year.
Yeah.
And then
there's
this little something called the NBA playoffs, which we're going to come back talking about. Boy, the Warriors were passing crisply last night. Do you like 39 assists? How about 39 assists on 44 made field goals? If that doesn't get your basketball nipples hard, nothing will. 888-957-9570 is the number. The one and only Gianfranco will tell you what's coming up today.
Now, back to the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
To reach out and talk with us. Matt Kolsky hanging out on a Warriors Wednesday. They wrapped up a road trip with a quality win in Minnesota. Like I said last night, 39 assists on 44 made field goals. That, my friends, is the walking, talking textbook definition of Warriors basketball. How good are they when they make that many passes? They're undefeated going back 2 years with 37 or more assists. Yeah, they're 26-0, pardon me, over the last three seasons, Matt. 26-0 over the last three seasons when they have 37 or more assists. And it's easy to say, well, just go out and do that all the time. Even for the best passing team in basketball, that's still a gaudy number. You're approaching 40 assists. That ball is hopping.
I'd love to know how many teams other than them have had 37 assist games over that
even
same
capable
stretch.
Of it, right?
It's really insane. And you said it already, but when you talk about 39 assists on 44 buckets, just percentage-wise, that's unbelievable. That doesn't happen in the NBA. I mean, 25 assists on 36 buckets for the Wolves is pretty good. 39 on 44, especially when you have Steph and Klay each shooting the ball 21 times. Think of, out of the 23 times they made a bucket, literally at least 18 of those were on assists. But that just means the ball is constantly moving around, and that's when the Warriors are completely unbeatable.
The 3-1 road trip might honestly be the most impressive road trip of the year, with a win in Houston without Kevin Durant. Then you go beat Oklahoma City, again, no Kevin Durant. You go to Minnesota, no Boogie Cousins, and you play well but just shoot poorly in the loss to San Antonio, a game that also had no Cousins, no Iguodala, and Kevin Durant working himself back in from a couple-game absence. So even that loss, like I said, the bench executed well. The team was engaged. They just didn't hit shots. I mean, sometimes even the best shooting team in the world doesn't knock down its shots. It was a rough night for both Curry and Clay, and that went a long way to beating them more than any effort the San Antonio Spurs really made, although tip of the cap to the Spurs, they're a phenomenal outfit. But the Warriors seem to be now taking it seriously, which is good. I mean, it's kind of what we're expecting, but there's a lot of things we thought we were expecting this year that we didn't get. I'd be a little concerned if we weren't watching them sharpen the knife right now, and it's clear that they're doing that.
That's the biggest thing. We're watching it. Because you can look at a loss to San Antonio and say, Kevin Durant's bad and probably should have got that one. But it's how they looked.
Yeah.
They looked like a team that was engaged. It wasn't one of the games we've seen this year where they came out and we watched them and we went, what is wrong with these guys? They don't look into it. They looked into it. They missed a bunch of shots. That will happen occasionally, not very often with this team. But that's why, I mean, there are other road trips where they might have won more games this year, but a couple of those wins came in games that they didn't look totally locked in. And I think at this point in the season, it's more important to me that they looked like a team that cared for all four of those games than that they went 4-0.
Head coach Steve Kerr.
Great trip. Great road trip. To go 3-1. You know, against the caliber of competition, with the difficulty of the back-to-back, last night to tonight, really good trip. And now we got to go home and back it up.
And now the question is, how important is that one seed? The next three games are probably going to go a long way to determining it. They're coming home for three, starting tomorrow night. It's Indiana. Then they got the Mavericks, and they got the Pistons coming to town. That feels like it better be 3-0. Again, well, it's the time of the year where that it feels like that needs to be 3-0.
This, to me, might be a bigger test than the road trip, and that sounds very silly, because Indiana has really hung in there without Victor Oladipo, but they're overmatched talent-wise against the Warriors. Dallas and Detroit, neither of whom are very good. The thing is, those are the games where they've had problems this year. So if the story is, we took an ugly loss to Phoenix, and we looked ourselves in the mirror and said, it's time to lock in, and then we went on a four-game road trip where we locked in, and even though we lost to San Antonio, we feel like we're playing much closer to playoff-type, playoff-level basketball, and to finish it with the nice win in Minnesota, the big assist game, it feels like you're locked in. If you come home and you slip up, what did it mean then? Aren't we right back in the place we've been all year, where some nights they care and other nights they don't?
It's time to stop playing down to your opponent.
Even if it's Dallas and Detroit, it's time to care every night, and that means putting a hurt on Dallas and Detroit.
And I really think that there's more of a reason to stay tuned now than there was about a month ago, when it felt like some of the basketball was disposable. And you could say, well, damn it, all this is disposable. Call me when the playoffs start. Well, we are at the point in time of the year where Steve Kerr is trying to figure out whose lever he wants to pull. And obviously, with DeMarcus Cousins coming back, it's going to knock everybody back in the row of dominoes a little bit in how they fall in terms of rotation.
I've thought about it. It'll probably be based on matchups. And, it could change from one game to the next. So I don't know. I mean, I obviously, we've got our mainstays, our guys who are going to be in there. And but we feel confident with everybody on the roster, so there's a lot of different directions we can go.
I don't know if Steve would have said that about a month ago. I'm confident in everybody on the roster. I don't think he was. I don't think he might have been confident in Yurebko, who I thought, I don't know, was circling the doghouse, if not finding himself in it. But all of a sudden, he comes out and he puts up probably his best performance since the game-winning shot against Utah, like you said, all the way back in the second game of the year.
And if we can just get the occasional, there's a good Jerebko, there's a good McKinney, there's a good Looney game.
You love McKinney.
I love McKinney. He's He's my favorite player on the team right now.
Don't stop.
But if we, okay, I am wearing a Claytheism shirt. I should probably be careful with what I say, but he's top five for me for sure. I just love that guy. I love what he does. But getting an encouraging game from each of those guys in the last 12 tells you, all right, I feel like this guy's ready when we need him. Because you're going to need some chips in from each of those guys at some point in the postseason. That's just how it works. We've seen it before, whether it's Leandro Barbosa or pick your guy in any of the various iterations of the Warriors. Someone's going to come through when you don't necessarily expect it and have a big impact.
First time they see playoff crunch time. Are we going to see DeMarcus Cousins? Are we going to see Andrew Bogut for a little remember what was? Or do they go back to Hampton's five death lineup? What do you think's more likely to happen? I think you got to dance with the girl that brung you here, and what brung them here is the death lineup.
That's right. I think ultimately, if they need crunch time stuff, they go back to that, with a couple exceptions. If you're playing against the Denver Nuggets and Nikola Jokic is out there, you probably can't defend him with Draymond Green. I mean, it's probably just not something you want to do. So maybe that is Cousins. And I think he did a really good job against Jokic when we saw that. So I'm okay with that. But I think here's the thing. Assuming everything smoothly cruises to the end of the regular season, it's sort of like we got here, we made it through a season with DeMarcus, and if I got to bench him for the whole playoffs to get to a title, then so be it. He's probably not coming back next year anyway. I think once you get to those big decisions, you're not worried about keeping people happy anymore.
No, but we do have a sign of happiness. And again, we'll take this wherever we can find it. Again, if you're offering me, if you're selling a little joy, I'm here to buy a little joy.
Do you feel joy? Say joy.
Did you see the video that I still haven't seen explained in its entirety of Kevin Durant last night in Minnesota, back at the team hotel, delivering a pizza to I don't know who the guy was, but he's got his one of the kid is his son, maybe the other kid is the other son or a friend of the son, who knows? But these two kids, both about 12 years old, are sitting there jumping on their beds, and all of a sudden here comes Kevin Durant walking into a hotel room, and the dad's like, you know who that is? And the kid's like, it's Kevin Durant. They were blown away, and Durant looked very, very happy to be in the moment. And again, I just smile, be happy, yeah. Go be happy, go be fruitful and multiply. Like, go ahead. Like, that's what I want out of this team. I want feel good moments. I want good energy. I want happy, happy, joy, joy. As corny as that is, like, I now get it. Steve Kerr is not wrong about this.
It helps. It shows when they're in a good mood. It shows on the court. It shows with them as a group. Apparently, Kevin Durant met that dad in the elevator, and he's like, I'm going to deliver pizza to your kids. That's pretty cool.
Dude, if you're a dad, what do? Do you say, like, nah, I don't bother you. You're probably a little too busy, or do you go upstairs and do you prepare your kids and then set them up for a letdown, or do you just let it happen?
I'll tell you why you don't prepare. I'll tell you a story from my life why you don't prepare your kids. Back in the days when basketball teams flew commercial, my father, who traveled a ton for work when I was young, was flying in first class and happened to be on the same plane as the Chicago Bulls. Now, we're talking somewhere between 91 and 94. And he saw in the before he got on the flight, this pre-cell phone saw the Bulls.
Is this one of those never meet your heroes stories?
It's much worse than that.
Oh, no.
Called his 10-year-old son, biggest Bulls fan in the world, to say, I'm on the flight with the Bulls. I'm going to get their autographs. Gets the autographs on. You remember when you used to have airplane tickets and they put them in the little jacket for you?
So that you had an autograph boarding pass?
Got the jacket signed by the entirety of the 91-92 Chicago Bulls championship team. Went to sleep on the flight like he often did. Woke up, got off the plane, and as he had done hundreds and hundreds of times before, threw his ticket into the garbage.
No!
So his 10-year-old son, who was prepared for a ticket jacket containing the autographs of the entirety of the Chicago Bulls, received nothing. Nothing at all. So you do not prepare your child for that moment, because Kevin Durant might not come.
See, at that point, at that point, I think if you're your dad, you just got to go. You got to start faking signatures.
Yeah. You know what? That would have been the better option. And I'd still have the thing framed somewhere, and I'd be a real jag, but really nobody would know.
Who would know? know.
Except nobody would know. Except my dad. Yeah. Right. And hopefully
that's fine.
He'd be able to keep that secret. But no,
it's
he
like
failed.
One of those you take it to the grave secrets.
Definitely.
Yes. Because here's the thing. You got it, but you just don't have it.
That's right.
So you need to duplicate it to create the illusion of nothing went wrong.
Exactly.
See, I'm already justifying when to lie to your child for your child's happiness. You can tell I'm an expecting father over here. 12 more Warrior games down the stretch of this season.
3 weeks from today is the last game of the regular season.
Wow, I never even thought of that.
Yeah.
3 weeks from today, the regular season is officially wrapped up for the Warriors. And, you know, an awful lot of people are looking at, you know, what do you think of the one seed? Well, here's what I think of the one seed. It's not a necessity. But, yeah, I mean, given the option of do you want it, yes or no, the answer is, of course, yes. You want the one seed to get you through your half of the bracket. And I'll tell you, where I think you really want the one seed is in the NBA Finals. Like, that's where I'd be worried about it more than in the Western Conference, to be totally honest with you. So putting together the best record possible, probably the right thing to do right now.
The two teams that worry me are the Rockets and the Raptors. I think you're in good shape with the Sixers. I'm not as worried about the Nuggets because the Warriors have handled them really well. But you don't want to be playing. If you have to play another Game 7 against the Rockets, God forbid, you don't want it to be in Houston again. If you end up having to play a long series in the finals after, for instance, for the sake of argument, having to play the Jazz, Thunder, and Rockets on your way to the finals, if you then have to be on the road for Games 1 and 2 against Toronto or Philly, that's going to be rough. You don't want that.
Look, you're walking into madhouses.
Yeah.
Absolute madhouses. Can you imagine what Philadelphia would be like hosting Game 1 of the NBA Finals?
Oh,
and look, I'm going to put Milwaukee in there too, man.
Sure.
When's the last time the Brewers gave anyone something that wasn't a first-round playoff matchup? You know, it's been a while since the stakes were really, really high in Milwaukee. I guess they were in the NLCS last year.
But the home road splits for those teams are all pretty big as well. They all are much better home teams than road teams. And interestingly, the Warriors are not. The Warriors are about even home and road. And you look at the top three, four teams in the East, because Indiana, in fact, is sub-500 on the road. But all four of the top four have single-digit home losses, and you don't want to have to play there any more than you have to.
Amen. Yeah, you just look. Here's a good little tip of advice to just get through life: avoid all the hornet's nests you can. That's what you just want to do. You never want to make the task more difficult. And the Warriors could be looking at a more difficult task in the NBA Finals if they had to start it on the road. Now, look, if the Nuggets are the one, the only place the Warriors would see them in the Western Conference Finals, and I'll tell you, if I were the Warriors, I would rather play the Western Conference Finals without home court advantage against the Nuggets than see the Rockets with home court advantage.
I agree with that.
I'm not worried about the Nuggets.
No.
All due respect to everyone involved, that doesn't scare me yet.
Nope. So many young guys, an offense that has to run through their center. I just think, as good as they are and as good as they can be at home, some of that is a regular season advantage because of travel schedules and teams having to fly into Denver with the altitude. Denver does not, plus just the way the Warriors have played against them this year, Denver doesn't scare me nearly as much. To be honest, I'm not super scared of anyone, but the Rockets have beaten you three times this year and three times in the playoffs last year. So I think writing them off would be silly.
I don't want to go down the road. I saved it to the end of the segment because I don't want it to just get away and dominate the conversation. Because here's what I want. I want as much talent pointed in the direction of beating the opponent as possible. And right now, this year, that means Kevin Durant and company. However, I couldn't help but notice that throughout this road trip, taking a guy off the court wasn't the worst thing that happened to the Warriors, no matter who that guy was. Like Durant off the court, DeMarcus off the court, to an extent Iguodala, but not nearly as easy to see. The less is more with a basketball team. Too many options can like paralyze what you're trying to do. And Warrior basketball flows prettier, looks more like what we all fell in love with years ago with one fewer talented scorer off the floor no matter who that guy is, as long as that guy's not Curry. Curry is the constant. If he's out there, here it comes.
Curry torpedoes it. No question about that. I would put it slightly differently, though. What I would say is that pretty flow comes easier when one of those guys is off the floor. I don't think it's impossible to get that style going with everybody on the floor. It is much easier to fall into other habits when everybody's there because you have so many guys who can do so many different things for you. And frankly, so many guys who you can just be like, you know what, you take care of it this time. And particularly Durant, because that's how a lot of his career has been played.
Well, and look, almost by definition, any Durant shot is among the best options on the floor.
Exactly.
The only time Durant takes a shot where I'm just like, nope, bad shot, is when there's still 24 seconds left in the shot clock.
You know,
it's just
a
catch and shoot three.
But in general, I think we all believe the best version of the Warriors, the theoretical best version of the Warriors, is with this whole group healthy, available, and still playing the style we've seen with one guy down over the last week. Now, can they do that? I think so, but we have not seen it over an extended run.
By the way, I know that we all watched that Phoenix loss and it gave us all a little agita. Well, Kevin Durant actually said that that was one of the best things that has happened to this team in recent memory.
I mean, just last week we were struggling. So, I mean, a loss definitely does that for you, you know. So if we were to beat Phoenix last week, then, you know, we probably wouldn't be feeling this way. But I think after a tough loss like that, that opened our eyes, woke us up a bit to let us know we had, at that point, we had 19, 20 games left to the playoffs. So I think that loss is probably the biggest lesson for us throughout the season this year.
Yeah, it's one of the few times where a defeat hits you like a cream pie right in the face. Like, that was embarrassing, and I think they felt it. I think they knew it. I think they all basically took a little self-evaluation of what their roles were on the team. And I really think that the team processed that loss in the best possible way. The Warriors can take a defeat and build off of it.
That's why Dallas and Detroit are games that I'm interested in.
Yeah.
Is because that's a great story that they're telling. And it's not that I don't believe it. It's just the real proof is not being ready for Houston and Oklahoma City on the road. The real proof is, are you ready for Dallas and Detroit at home? Because that's what Phoenix is. And you weren't ready for Phoenix.
I hope you're all ready for a little interview that I've got set to do with Steph Curry tomorrow. I'm going over to Warriors practice for a one-on-one sit-down with Steph that we're going to have for you in our 5 o'clock hour tomorrow. Coming up in just a moment, Kalen Azubuike is going to join us right after we get into a What If Wednesday, where we put a few what would have happened if scenarios up there and out there, a little hypothetical coming up next. But we've got our friend Kalen Azubuike coming up at 4 o'clock, courtesy of Fremont Bank. Full-service banking, no compromises. That's around the corner. Don't you go anywhere.
What if I told you hindsight is always 20/20?
The Minnesota Timberwolves select Stephen Curry.
That everything happens for a reason.
With the first selection in the 2005 NFL draft, the San Francisco 49ers select Aaron Rodgers, quarterback to California.
What if I told you it's time for What If Wednesday on the Damon Bruce Show?
Everyone ready for an acid test? I feel like this is our Timothy Leary segment. What might have happened if? Got Matt Kolsky along with us today. Gianna, what do you have for us? What premise will you submit?
Here's where we begin, gentlemen.
Ooh.
What if LeBron, Kobe, and Kevin Garnett played in college instead of going from high school straight to the NBA? What if that happened?
You couldn't make the argument that any of them would have been more famous because they're all about as famous as basketball players can be. But to have them attached to a school or college, I think, adds to their legacy, does not diminish their legacies. And it certainly would have added to the legacy of all the programs that would have ended up. I mean, LeBron was supposed to go to Ohio State. Kobe was ticketed to North Carolina. And who else did you say?
Kevin Garnett.
Kevin Garnett? Where was he supposed to go to? Does anyone know?
I'm not sure.
Michigan?
Michigan?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, Chicago boy.
Apparently Kobe could have gone to Duke as
Kobe
well.
Kobe could have gone to Duke, sure.
You know, I think
LeBron could have gone anywhere.
I think Maybe not in the case of those schools. Maybe Ohio State, though. I think it changes the school more than it changes the player. Because, like, think about Kevin Durant. How often do you really think about Texas when you think Kevin Durant? Almost never, but he has donated like $3 million to Texas. That's right. And he did give them one glorious year of basketball. So it's hard to imagine any of those guys would have played a second season in college if they had gone, but it would have been one glorious year for those schools and maybe a few million down the road.
I'm all for player rights. I'm all for player options. If you got the talent to jump right into the workforce, like, God bless. And these are three examples of having that skill level. When you go down the rung under LeBron James, Kobe Bryant, Kevin Garnett, those are the guys who probably could have benefited from a year or two collegiately. Not first ballot Hall of Famers. But I love college basketball. I absolutely love it. I wish my audience shared my love of college basketball here in the Bay Area. I know what tempo you guys dance to, and you don't really dance to college basketball. I think people around here would have been more likely to dance to the beat of college basketball had there been more household brand recognizable names in it. So it would have been great if it had happened. But everyone's pretty fine. Like, all those programs and all those players are fine without it.
Yeah, they do. They're doing
it. Everyone turned out okay.
Everyone turned out just fine. I think this is the time of year people actually do lean in a little bit to college basketball because of the tournament. I mean, random people are filling out their brackets. I mean, the amount of time people spend without knowing anything about the teams or caring just to participate.
Exactly. They're leaning into the tournament, not college basketball.
But, like, it brings some attention. You kind of might be aware of some of the players.
It's gambling with a map.
Exactly.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's a house tournament with a map. Anytime you can offer me a sporting event with a map, it's easier to follow. It's easier to digest. I love it. I absolutely love it. By the way, Indiana continues its march to the NIT on Saturday, and you can now come shoot me anytime you want.
I'm wearing my Indiana colors today, I'm going to wear this on Saturday just for you, Damon.
You are wearing some horizontal candy stripes.
I am. All right, what if the Warriors don't bring home the Larry O'Brien this season?
Ooh.
That's a pretty big what if. Let's do hypotheticals anyway.
All right. So if the Warriors failed to win an NBA championship this year, I mean, there's only one question that I come up with. Do the Warriors fail winning a championship? Would that make Durant more or less likely to stay? If I think he's going with a championship, would not a championship lure him to stay? I really don't know, because it feels like it's going to be a title, and then what does Durant do? Those are the two questions remaining. Does one affect the other, or is the other so far gone a conclusion that the championship doesn't matter one way or the other, in which case it would be, you know, look, they're trying to three-peat. This is not an easy thing to do. This is rare. It's very, very hard to do, so it would deny them a very important place in history they're trying to get to. Probably that would be the biggest repercussion. You didn't three-peat.
And I think this is as good just like a example of how clueless we are about what's going on inside Kevin Durant's head as anything, that I honestly don't know the answer to your question. I don't know if not winning a title would make him more or less likely to come back, because I'm so confused about the motivations.
Wait, what are the priorities?
Yeah, I don't get it anyway. So would it make him more like, on one hand, you're like, of course not. If you lose, you're like, man, it wasn't that great here anyway. You get at it. But on the other hand, if he's motivated to go to the Knicks if he does win, maybe he's motivated to stay if he doesn't. I don't know. I can't figure the guy out.
It would be, look, when we sit down to tell our kids one day what we covered here with the Golden State Warriors for proper historical framing, I want to be able to use the word three-peat.
Yes.
Three-peat is the standard of basketball excellence. It truly, truly is. And without it, even three out of four just isn't a three-peat.
Nope.
It's still good, but it's not the same.
It's still
it's
really
great.
Good. But four out of five with a three-peat, that's a mic drop on a lot of NBA arguments. And that's a microphone that I think every single person listening to me talking to this microphone wants to be able to drop.
Yeah, no doubt. Especially, I don't want the last season at Oracle to go out like that.
Exactly.
Well, you know? And it's a mic drop that, frankly, this team deserves to win. I mean, that deserves is a funny word, but they're good enough and they ought to.
Right. You look like a historical team to me. Go and cement your place in history.
How about this? If they don't win the title this year, it will be a similar black mark on the entire five-year period that not winning the title in the 73-9 season is on that year.
Yeah. It'll feel like a major incomplete.
Right.
All right. One more for you. What if LeBron never makes the playoffs again? What does it mean for his legacy and the NBA? Because he ain't going this year.
Okay. Look, if he were never to see the playoffs again, it would be devastating to his overall legacy. Look, if he doesn't win another title, people are going to try to frame that as devastating. It won't be. Look, the Lakers bought LeBron stock at the wrong time. They really did.
Or did LeBron buy Lakers stock at the wrong time?
It's a very good question. I do know that if part of your legacy is you were a great winner, then you truly got to the biggest stage you ever stood on, and you forgot how to sing, like you got stage fright at that point of view. It would be bad. I've said this about Michael Jordan, became so powerful that the only man who could truly threaten Michael Jordan's legacy was Michael Jordan. And to an extent, he did that when he put on a Wizards uniform. He did damage to his legacy. Critical damage? No. But some damage. Instead of your last memory of Michael Jordan being the hand in the air after the push-off to win it all, it was a complete meaningless go-around with the Wizards as he was trying to work his way into NBA ownership.
I would argue it's aged pretty well, his performance with the Wizards. A 40-year-old man after a two-year layoff doing what he did is pretty remarkable.
It is remarkable, and he played all 82 in that final season. He really did. It's great, but it made the story... It wasn't... How about this? The Michael Jordan story was awesome. Print, cuts, final scene, done. We didn't need the... And then we rolled the credits, and then we had a little teaser at the very end.
I think you just hit it. It affected the movie script, but not really his legacy.
If we were to do the Michael Jordan movie, would we even include the Wizards chapter?
If you were smart and went the Bohemian Rhapsody route and didn't care that much about facts, no, you'd just cut that whole thing out. And so to me, that's what's affected by LeBron. Not really his legacy, but the storybook, the tale. If he doesn't make the playoffs again, we have no ending for our movie.
The amount of hatred and trolling and ire that would define his Lakers legacy would be remembered as loudly as any championship that he won.
But he'd still be one of the top, what, three players of all time?
Yeah, that doesn't go away. Doesn't go away.
So he's got that sewn up, but it would affect how we think about it story-wise.
Right.
Go ahead.
No, he is all the way on the top of the greatness mountain. There's no doubt about it, but he would slide down if at the very, very end of his journey, he couldn't reach the summit anymore. Like, it's failing to make the playoffs in 4 years. That's a ton of free agent swing and misses. That's a ton of trade swing and misses. That's a ton of players that you look to build around him, the coach that you hired for him. Like, if he really never even tasted the playoffs again, it would be such a titanic West Coast flop that it would redefine him in a way that he does not want his legacy to be remembered. Well, it would be semi-devastating.
Here's an interesting twist you guys can think about, because I think we're going to go to Kalani here pretty soon. He's 34. His son in 5 years, who's very good, could potentially be in the NBA.
Ronnie.
So what if LeBron and his son are playing in the NBA at the same time?
Well, his kid better knock down shots, or he's going to try to get him traded to New Orleans. Can you imagine LeBron, like, intentionally sitting three seats away from his son at all times because he's got him on the trading block? He's like, Palinka, get rid of that kid.
He's had that in mind, though. LeBron has had that in his head for a while.
By the way, if any NBA player plays a single NBA minute with his son, that would officially be as about as cool of a thing as I've ever seen in sports. That would be absolutely amazing and noteworthy if it happened, for sure. 888-957-9570. I see here for a Warriors Wednesday, Kalena Azubuike is ready to go. Brought to you by Friedman's Appliance, a trusted name in the Bay Area since 1922, and by Great Clips, a proud partner of the Golden State Warriors.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.